This paper reports that 2 days after a test, a woman presented at an emergency department with rhinorrhea, mild cough and severe headache, unrelieved by analgesia. And then there was a 36-year-old woman who went for a follow-up to an obstetrics and gynecology department for infertility. And she had to be screened for COVID-19 because she was going into the hospital for routine outpatients. They're all doing this now. 10 days after she'd had the PCR test, she had headaches and clear nasal discharge. The report highlights the expected radiological findings and the clinical importance of acquiring an accurate and thorough history from the patient prior to performing nasal swabs as a prerequisite. And they're pointing out that alternative methods of testing should be considered in patients with signs and symptoms of idiopathic intracranial hypertension. Of course, everyone doing the test will be checking all the people that they are testing for idiopathic intracranial hypertension, won't they? Ha ha. There's a case report here of cellulitis and infraorbital abscess as a complication of a routine COVID-19 test, a significant complication in a young and fit patient who ended up with infraorbital abscess because of the swab that had been done. The symptoms developed 1 week after having had a routine COVID-19 nasal and pharyngeal swab. The test was performed as a safety measure because she worked as a care worker and her workplace regularly screened all their employees every 5 days. She had no symptoms of anything at all until she had the test, in which case she became quite poorly. There's a report here from the European Clinical European Journal of Neurology. 63-year-old man was admitted to hospital to have a left fifth toe amputation due to diabetes. They performed a routine nasopharyngeal swab test as a screening test. He then ended up with diplopia and left eye pain and recovered partially. That's quite a price to pay. A three-day-old baby died after a swab taken for COVID-19. I reported on people dying 18 months ago, and I got absolutely hammered by people who said, oh, he's lying, that's not true, couldn't possibly be true, nobody's died. Of course it was true. The evidence is in scientific journals. Three-day-old baby died after a swab was taken for COVID-19 tests. Parents accused doctors of being responsible for the death, claiming that the baby was healthy until the collection of the swab samples. And I could not argue with the parents. There's a horrifying picture of a young girl who was tested with a swab at school. I hate to think who she was tested by. I don't know whether you can see that, but this girl's covered in blood and she's bleeding from her eye as well as from her nose. Poor child. Report in Applied Radiology, a middle-aged patient presented with mild typical symptoms of COVID-19 that included alterations in smell and taste. They inevitably performed a nasal swab, had severe headache afterwards, and fluid coming out of her nostrils, and showed afterwards a pneumocephalus on the right side and a defect in the cribriform plate. More damage from bad swabbing. A Saudi Arabian child died after a COVID-19 test swab broke in his nose. 1.5-year-old had a coronavirus swab break inside his navel cavity after medical staff in a hospital performed the COVID-19 test because he had a fever. There was a child who had needed a heart diagnostic test, and protocol stated she had to test negative for COVID before they could perform the heart diagnostic test. She had instantly fluid was leaking out of her nose. She was leaking spinal fluid. Neurologist diagnosed her later. There was a rupture in the dural membrane, the lining that's around the brain. The fact checkers, of course, say none of this is possible. It's about time they read through a few scientific papers. There's another one here. Woman with a skull defect leaking cerebrospinal fluid. If you ever have a PCR test and afterwards you have a runny nose, you must go and see your doctor straight away to have the runny fluid tested to see if it's cerebrospinal fluid. How many doctors have warned people about that? I would suspect none. Woman started leaking cerebral fluid out of her nose after she'd had a COVID-19 test. This was reported in JAMA Otolaryngology, University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. She had an undiagnosed skull defect and leaked cerebral fluid out of her nose after she'd had a COVID-19 test. And the article states that CSF leaks may be misdiagnosed as migraines or headaches. There's one in Finland, report from Finland. Excessive force during the procedure can cause harm. 7-month study of Finnish citizens in Helsinki, in a catchment area in Helsinki, tested for COVID-19. 8 people taken to an emergency department due to a mishap in the swabbing process. 2 people went to hospital with potentially life-threatening conditions. The Journal of the Korean Medical Science, nasopharyngeal swabs been used widely to prevent the spread of disease. Numerous complications reported in the media. Frequently documented adverse events, retained swabs, epistaxis and cerebrospinal fluid leakage often associated with high risk factors, including severe septal deviations. What they really should do, of course, is before every PCR test, if they really had to do one, they should do a scan of your skull to see whether you've got any abnormalities which are going to make it dangerous. Of course, they wouldn't possibly do that, quite sensibly. There's a whole list here of recorded problems, reported sometimes as case reports, sometimes swabs retained in nasal cavities, swabs, a swallowed swab in the duodenum, several of those, rupture of an artery in the olfactory area, 4 of those, 4 local or systemic infections caused by septum perforation, more retained swabs, more injuries, cribriform plate injuries, and so on and so on, encephalocele, pre-existing underlying idiopathic intracranial hypertension, pre-existing problems, none of which are checked before they do the test, of course. That's just a list of some that this one journal collected. COVID-19 swab-related skull base injury, 67-year-old woman referred to ENT department with confirmed cerebrospinal fluid coming out of her nose, treated for proven bacterial meningitis. She'd gone to a hospital and she'd had a swab. And the report is, we believe the injury to be a complication of the COVID-19 swab. That was in a journal called Medical Education. Here's another one, neuroradiology, if the fact checkers are interested. Healthy male in his 40s, 3-month history of frontal headache and postnasal drip, which didn't improve with oral antibiotics. He had 1 month prior to the onset of symptoms, he'd had a nasopharyngeal swab test for COVID because he'd not been feeling terribly well. He said that the swab insertion in his nasal cavity was painful. Swabs had been recommended as initial diagnostic specimen collection, blah blah. COVID-19 test caused a man to have 9-month long brain fluid leak. Man in Czech Republic. The man had already had an injury which made him more susceptible to a problem. paper in the European Journal of Neurology. 41-year-old woman, she had headache and a fever, and she had a PCR test, and she had neck stiffness afterwards, turbid CSF, and there'd been a rupture between the barriers between the nasal cavity and paranasal sinuses from the subarachnoid spaces, and meningitis. We should be aware, concluded the writer, we should be aware of CSF leaks as a possible meningitis cause in patients. COVID-19 nasal swabs associated with increased meningitis risks. This was an alert, and it came days before auto testing kits were available in French pharmacies, which is ironic because the report was published. The report of the risk of meningitis was in the Académie nationale de médecine in France. Germany report, 49-year-old man with intellectual disability admitted to hospital for treatment of persisting epistaxis following routine collection of nasopharyngeal swab specimen. And his bleeding had come immediately after the test. Life-threatening complication. And there's a story here about reused nose swabs, a scam that was busted in Indonesia at an airport. Lots of scams. I've seen details of people packing the swabs by hand, which was pretty nice. But they're reusing swabs here. I think they may have washed them. Yes, they washed them and then sold them to be used again. So make sure, if you insist on having a PCR test, make sure that they find that you've got a brain, and make sure that your test has been properly washed. Unbelievable. COVID PCR test swabs are as dangerous as inhaling asbestos. Tests can be dangerous if patients, this was a paper in India, injuries after a swab can be dangerous in patients who've had a history of previous nose surgery, in elderly women with osteoporosis because they may have thinned bones, anybody who's had a history of head injury, if there's any resistance felt during the sampling, the swab stick should not be pushed hard. Instead, the other nostril should be tried, and the patient should be asked for a history of nasal surgery. I wonder how many times when the PCR test is being done, the person doing the test is asking all these questions that they've been told that they must ask. Anybody who's doing the test and who hasn't asked all these questions would have thought, be liable to all sorts of terrible damages. The bottom line is that anyone... Oh, I forgot to tell you, the test, of course, has been... I've lost it now, but the test has been pointed out to be useless. The CDC actually said in the States that the PCR test is no longer recognized as a valid method for detecting confirmed COVID-19 tests cases. That was in February 2022, which I reported some weeks ago. PCR test is therefore officially useless. So anybody doing the PCR test or asking you if they were telling you they want to do a PCR test, my advice would be to say to them, do you know that the PCR test has officially been recognized as of no use? Anyone who isn't yet convinced that the PCR testing program is based on ignorance, stupidity, greed and corruption rather than science or medicine is clearly either insane, a conspirator, a fact checker or an employee of the BBC. Anyone who isn't convinced that the PCR test should be stopped is just barking. 99% of the people doing the PCR test, in my view, almost certainly know nothing about anatomy. They'd stick an ice pick in someone's ear if someone else in a cheap suit gave them a packet of sweets and told them they were going to save the world. And don't forget, as I said earlier, you should see, if you have a PCR test, you should see a doctor if you have a runny nose afterwards. Ideally, in my view, you wouldn't have the PCR test in the first place because it's been proven useless and proven dangerous. But if you have a runny nose afterwards, you should check to make sure that it isn't cerebrospinal fluid. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair. Please subscribe to my platform and please put the videos on other platforms such as BitChute. My thanks to everyone who does this. Please do translations too. For the record, this channel's not been monetized. None of my videos ever has been because I don't want adverts on my videos. There are no ads, no sponsors, no requests for funds on videos or websites. Thanks to BNT and to Mohammed Butt for the platform. Don't forget to watch my friend, Dr. Colin Barron, who makes absolutely wonderful videos, which are always entertaining, always pertinent. Read the Light Paper and visit thelightpaper.co.uk. Visit my websites, please, vernoncolman.org and vernoncolman.com. There are free articles and new stuffs added every day. Well, most days. Remember, I'm banned from all social media. Anything you see that's purporting to be me on Twitter, Facebook, Telegram or anywhere else is fake. And please report it to whoever you think you could report it to. My multiple banned book, COVID-19, The Greatest Hoax in History, is now available at last. It was banned completely 3 times, withdrawn all over the place, but it has managed to get published at last, but not by a publisher in America, not by a publisher in Britain, but by a publisher somewhere else, not in those countries. Details in the box below. Finally, although it may feel like it at times, please remember that you're not alone. More and more people are waking up, and once they wake, they don't go back to sleep. If we're going to win this war, which we have to fight hard and with passion, and most important of all, with the truth. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. And thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair.
It would be a direct assault on the fundamental right to self-determination, to live and love without interference from the government. At its core, this is about our future as a nation, about whether we live in a country where the government can interfere in personal decisions.
About whether we live in a country where the government can interfere in personal decisions.
Hey everybody, what's up? Don't worry, I'm totally fine. I figured we have a lot to talk about. I don't know if we're able, and it just never stops. You know, just shocking me. It is your choice. And you should not be shamed for your choice. So I grew up in a very religious household. I was raised, you know, my dad's side was Catholic. My mom's side was like Pentecostal and evangelical. And, you know, and whether my values and whether my personal perspective, it is not anybody's, no person, no man, no person can take your body, can ethically take your body with and use it how they want without your consent. Whether, and that is exactly what Republicans are doing right now. They are taking women's bodies and forcing themselves upon women's bodies, forcing their opinions, forcing their perspective on women's bodies without their consent. They are violating not just women, but trans people and non-binary people in this country. So all these people, I have a lot of, I'm really trying not to curse right now, but they are forcing themselves on our bodies without our consent. And they are trying to legislate that in the law. And that is what, that is honestly the similarity between rape culture and these horrifying anti-choice forced birth laws.
All of you do every day and what you endure, and I asked you the same thing. Would you do anything else? You haven't quit yet. And it's because I know you're not the quitting type at all. And I know this is a scary situation for our parents and the caregivers who are taking care of these babies. Our administration is working around the clock. Around the clock. We're here today to talk about improving the mental health care and wellness of healthcare workers. The doctors, the nurses, the healthcare aides, the hospital staff and support staff. That is about our children and healing them, protecting them, and caring for them in the way that you do. Most of my career, in fact, all of my career, children have been one of my main areas of focus. We all believe that when we talk about the children of the community, they are a children of the community. The mental health challenges that you experienced most recently because of the pandemic. Yet, this burnout issue existed even before the pandemic. And that was, again, that was before the pandemic. Which is why President Joe Biden and I are fighting to transform how mental health is understood. You know, the bottom line is this. On this issue of mental health, you know, one way to think of it is this. If you knew someone who broke their arm, you would help them. You would make sure they went to the hospital to get a cast. And after they came home, well, on their way home, you'd probably open the door for them. You'd help them when they got home to get the support they need to heal through the point that they are feeling pain and then just need to heal. We have to do the same when it comes to mental health. When we think about healthcare, we act as though the body just starts from the neck down. Instead of understanding, we also need to address healthcare from the neck up. Mental health.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, how do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Dancing in the gym, you both kicked day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. The king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, the courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned, and while Lenin read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. The day the music died, we were singing American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Helter skelter in the summer swelter, the birds flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. The jester on the sidelines in a cast. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume, while the sergeants played a marching tune. We all got up to dance, oh, but we never got the chance, 'cause the players tried to take the field, the marching band refused to yield. Do you clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, he was singing, I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. In the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast. The day the music died. and they were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.